Please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 15 through 21. We're getting closer to the end of our message series now. Our message series is called Mission in Conflict. And we're really going through Matthew chapters 10 through 12, and we're looking at those two themes, because those two themes play out over and over again in these three chapters of Matthew's Gospel. Last week, we saw how Jesus' mission brought him into direct conflict with the Pharisees. And that conflict got so bad that by the end of it, the last verse we looked at last week, remember the Pharisees went out and they began plotting how they could kill Jesus. So yeah, I would say that's pretty strong conflict at that point, right? Well, now in today's passage, we see how does Jesus respond to that? How does Jesus respond to the Pharisees plotting and scheming? How does Jesus respond to conflict? And of course, as we look at Jesus as our example, we can learn some valuable lessons as to how we should respond to conflict in our lives as well. So in Matthew 12, verses 15 through 21, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these wonderful words describing our Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not only grasp the meaning and the understanding of these words, that we would really see the heart of you, Lord Jesus, this morning, the heart of you as God's servant. And Lord, that we would allow you to form your heart in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So last week we saw Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and then the Pharisees went out and they began plotting how they could kill Jesus. So if you're Jesus, what do you do? Do you fight back? Do you gather the disciples and do some plotting and scheming of your own? Do you ramp up the conflict and face the Pharisees head on, exposing their murderous hearts and their hypocrisy? Or do you respond with gentleness? And that one was probably not high on our list of options, was it? I know it wasn't on my list. May not have been yours, and yet that's exactly how Jesus chooses to respond in this situation, with gentleness. Yes, you will experience conflict in life. You are especially going to experience conflict when you are on mission for God. But that does not mean that you have to fight back. And that's what today's passage in Matthew is all about. Jesus is God's gentle servant. There are actually a number of aspects of Jesus' servanthood that are displayed in this passage, but the main one that stands out is Jesus' gentleness. Jesus is God's gentle servant, and we should be gentle like Jesus. The Bible tells us Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so we're going to look at these various aspects of Jesus as God's servant that we find here in this passage today. There is an outline in your bulletin with all five aspects of his servanthood highlighted out there for you. If you'd like to take that out to follow along and perhaps jot down some notes as we go. First of all, Jesus is a humble servant. Jesus is a humble servant. Remember, the Pharisees are plotting to kill Jesus. How does Jesus respond? Look at verses 15 and 16 now. Aware of this, aware that the Pharisees are plotting to kill him, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. Jesus avoided unnecessary conflict with the Pharisees. Once he was aware that they were plotting to kill him, instead of fighting back, what does he do? He withdraws. He withdrew from that place. Now, Jesus was not afraid of conflict, right? When the time is right, Jesus is going to march straight into Jerusalem, knowing that they are going to crucify him, that he's going to suffer and die. But Jesus is on God's timetable. And Jesus knew that his hour had not yet come. So rather than make things worse with the Pharisees at this time, he humbly withdrew. Jesus avoided unnecessary conflict with the Pharisees. Jesus also did not draw unnecessary attention to himself. We're told when Jesus withdrew from that place that many followed him. There's still a great crowd following him. And so what does Jesus do? He continues his mission. He continues preaching and teaching and healing the people. In fact, Matthew says he healed all their sick. His mission was successful. There were no failures among that. Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God, remember? And as Jesus preached the kingdom of God, he also demonstrated the kingdom of God. He demonstrated the reality that God's kingdom was right here, right there in his person, as he cast out demons, as he healed the sick. But at the same time as Jesus is fulfilling his mission, notice Jesus very humbly does not draw attention to himself, any unnecessary attention. In fact, what Jesus does here is the exact opposite. You might remember this from the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Jesus spoke about the hypocrites in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, the hypocrites who love to stand on the street corners in the synagogues and pray in loud voices and blow the trumpets before they gave. What are they doing? They're saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Jesus heals the people. That's part of his mission. But rather than draw the attention to himself, Jesus warned them, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Jesus avoided unnecessary conflict with the Pharisees, and he did not draw unnecessary attention to himself. Jesus is, first of all, a humble servant. Maybe you've been in a situation like that, where someone is trying to draw you into conflict. It takes humility to back off, doesn't it? It takes humility to back away. Jesus was a humble servant. Secondly, Jesus is a prophesied servant. Look at verse 17 now, where Matthew says this. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Matthew loves quoting from the Old Testament. We've seen that as we've worked our way through the Gospel of Matthew. He especially loves quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. The book of Isaiah contains many examples of very detailed, very specific, predictive prophecy, which is all the more remarkable when you realize that Isaiah lived and prophesied 700 years before Christ came. And yet Isaiah gives these very specific, detailed prophecies about the Messiah who would come. Predictive prophecy is one of the many evidences that God is God, that he is the one true God, and that God's word is God's word, and that it is trustworthy and true. In fact, that's one of the major themes throughout the book of Isaiah. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God can tell what will happen before it does happen. Notice Matthew says that these words that he's about to quote, these words were spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Through Isaiah. Isaiah wrote them down, right? Isaiah's the one who wrote them, but these were God's words. God is speaking through his prophet. Matthew loves quoting from the Old Testament. This passage we're about to look at is the longest out of all of his Old Testament quotations. He must have thought this was a really important one. This particular quotation comes from Isaiah 42 in verses 1 through 4. It's the first of what we call the four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah is a big book, 66 chapters. But when you get in the second part of it, there are these four beautiful, what we call servant songs. And each of these songs reveals a different aspect of God's servant who would come to redeem his people. And each of these songs finds their fulfillment in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Let me just summarize all four songs for you real briefly. It's right there in your outline, too, in your bulletin. In the first song, Jesus is the gentle servant who brings justice to the nations. And that first song focuses on Jesus' ministry. That's why Matthew quotes it here, right in the middle of Jesus' ministry. In the second song, Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6, in the second song, Jesus is the prepared servant who brings God's salvation to the ends of the earth. And this song especially focuses on Jesus' incarnation, God preparing Jesus in the womb. In the third song, Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, in the third song, Jesus is the obedient servant. He is the obedient servant who trusts God to help him in the face of his accusers. And this song focuses on Jesus' obedience in the face of opposition. And then finally, in the fourth song, Isaiah 52 to 53, Jesus is the suffering servant. The suffering servant who dies for our sins and rises again triumphant over sin and death. It's actually that fourth song that's the most well-known out of all the servant songs. This is the song that focuses on Jesus' suffering and death at the cross. So Jesus, he's the fulfillment of all four of the servant songs in Isaiah. Remember, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus came as a servant. He came as God's servant. He came as the servant prophesied in Isaiah. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees were going to kill him, what did he do? He withdrew from that place. He warned the people, don't tell anyone who I am. Matthew says, why did Jesus do this? He was fulfilling what was written about him, what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. So Jesus is not only a humble servant, he is a prophesied servant. All of this was prophesied centuries before Christ was even born. Thirdly, Jesus is an anointed servant. We're at verse 18 now in Matthew 12. Now this is where Matthew actually begins to quote now from Isaiah 42, from this very first servant song. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Now, God is the one speaking in this verse, right? He's speaking through Isaiah the prophet. God is speaking. Notice God calls Jesus my servant. And so, yes, Jesus came to serve us. He came to give his life as a ransom for us. But Jesus was first and foremost, primarily, God's servant. Jesus came in obedience to God the Father. He said what the Father told him to say. He did what the Father told him to do. He was God's servant, and he perfectly fulfilled his Father's will. Matthew, quoting Isaiah here, tells us that Jesus was chosen, loved, and affirmed by God. Jesus was the object of divine choice, divine love, and divine pleasure. He is God's son who is specifically chosen for the task of redeeming God's people. Now, these same words of God's love and affirmation for Christ that we find in Isaiah 42 and quoted here in Matthew 12, we find them in two other places in Scripture as well. We find them at Jesus' baptism, and we find them at Jesus' transfiguration. Let me read about his baptism first, Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. We're going to come back to that in a minute. And a voice from heaven said, hear the words from Isaiah 42, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Then you fast forward to Matthew 17, verse 5, in the transfiguration, God speaks again. A voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. Do you think God is trying to get something across to him? Jesus is God's son. God loves him. God chose him. God is well pleased with him. Jesus was chosen, loved, and affirmed by God, and Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit for his task as God's servant. God said through Isaiah, I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Well, what happened at Jesus' baptism? God put his spirit on Jesus. The spirit descended like a dove and rested on Jesus. We read this in Acts chapter 10. The apostle Peter is speaking here. He's telling a group of people and speaking to a group of people. And he tells them, he says, you know what happened. He says, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how Jesus went around doing good and healing all. We just saw that. Jesus healed all their sick and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And so Jesus is an anointed servant. He was chosen, loved, and affirmed by God. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to fulfill his task as God's chosen servant. Jesus is a humble servant, he is a prophesied servant, he is an anointed servant. And then fourthly, Jesus is a gentle servant. And this is really the heart of that first servant song, as we saw earlier about the gentleness of Jesus. It's really the heart of our message today. It's the heart of what Matthew is getting at here in quoting this. But let's go back to Matthew 12 now. Look at verses 19 and 20. Here Matthew quotes Isaiah. Speaking of the servant, he will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And this portion of the servant song shows us Jesus' gentleness in a couple of ways. First of all, that Jesus did not quarrel or cry out. Remember, Matthew is quoting this particular servant song from Isaiah to show how Jesus fulfilled this song in the way that he responded to the Pharisees. Pharisees were doing what? Plotting to kill him. What did Jesus do? Instead of crying out in anger, instead of arguing or quarreling, which would have ramped up the conflict, which would have drawn attention to himself, which was something he did not want to do. No, Jesus was gentle. Verse does not mean that Jesus kept complete silence. Yes, Jesus continued to speak and preach and teach. He proclaimed justice to the nations. He spoke up. He spoke out against evil, but he avoided the conflict for as long as possible. He avoided the conflict until the hour of his death had come. And he did this with all of the gentleness and humility is someone who serves God rather than himself. Jesus' response to conflict is an example for us here, isn't it? How do we respond to conflict? Just like Jesus, with gentleness and humility. And the Bible gives us other instruction on this, right? Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1 tells us this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I imagine every one of us could take that verse and just think back, and we could go through numerous instances where we could see both parts of that play out, when we responded gently and how that turned away wrath, when we responded harshly and how that just amped up the conflict. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Now, only Jesus fulfilled those servant songs in Isaiah, okay? Only Jesus fulfilled those songs. But we are all also called to be the Lord's servants. We're all called to be servants of Christ. And Paul says here that we need to follow the example of Jesus, the gentle servant. Are you the Lord's servant? Then you must not quarrel. Instead, Jesus says, be kind to everyone. Gently instruct those who oppose you. Jesus is the gentle servant who did not quarrel or cry out. Jesus is also the gentle servant who cares for the helpless and the hopeless. And this is actually my favorite part of this whole passage in Isaiah 42 and Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I like the way the Good News Bible paraphrases this. He will be gentle to those who are weak and kind to those who are helpless. So what's this bruised reed? A bruised reed he will not break. Well, reeds were used for a variety of purposes in biblical times. They were cheap. They were plentiful. So if you went to grab a reed and it was bent or bruised or broken, no worry, you just threw it out. You grab another one. Sort of like a drinking straw today, you know. If you pull a straw and it's bent, it's not going to work. You don't say, oh man, I better bring this to the straw repair man, right? And he's like, can you repair my straw? And it's like, oh, it's going to cost you $1,000. That's okay. And, you know, and they fix your straw for no, you just break it. You just throw it out. You grab another one. Jesus does not do that with us. And I love that about Jesus. If we're bruised, if we're broken, Jesus does not say, well, I'm done with you. I'll move on to somebody stronger. Doesn't do that. Jesus cares for the helpless. Jesus cares for those the world can't be bothered with or troubled over, those the world doesn't pay any attention to. Jesus cares about all the hurting, all the failures, all the rejects, all the dropouts, all the little people, all the weak links in the chain that everyone else sets aside. The servant's song also says, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And the smoldering wick here represents those whose hope is flickering, right? Those who know they don't have much to offer. Those who don't know if they can keep on going. Those who don't know if they're even going to make it through another day. Just flickering, smoldering. Jesus says, I'm not going to snuff that person out. Jesus comes to all those who are battered and bruised by life. He comes to the spiritually broken. He comes to all of us who are bruised by sin and all of its effects. He comes to all of those whose flame is flickering, and he gives them hope. Richard Sibbs was a Puritan pastor who wrote a whole book called The Bruised Reed, okay? The book was based on this verse, Isaiah 42, verse 3, that Matthew quotes here in chapter 12. And in the book, he talks about Jesus' compassion and how Jesus cares for the hurting. He writes, are you bruised? He says, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. He calls you. Conceal not your wounds. Open all before him and go to Christ. And then I just love this line so much. There is more mercy in him than sin in you. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago we looked at Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11. Remember what Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Who is he calling to himself? The bruised reeds, the smoking wicks. He says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The gentle servant, the humble servant. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. And he calls us to be gentle and humble with each other. Ephesians 4:32 tells us as Christians, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Because when it comes right down to it, we are all bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. We've all been beaten and bruised and pushed back in so many ways in this life. We all know the heart sick of hope deferred. We all know the heartbreak of hopes crushed. But Jesus cares for the helpless and hopeless. And a bruised reed, he will not break. A smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. Jesus is a gentle servant. Got one more characteristic of Jesus' servanthood here. Number five, Jesus is a victorious servant. Back to Matthew 12 now, looking at the end of verse 20 and into verse 21. Matthew writes, Jesus will do these things until he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Back in verse 18, we were told Jesus would proclaim justice to the nations. Now here in verse 20, we are told that he will lead justice to victory. Jesus came to bring justice to the nations, and Jesus will succeed in his mission. Isaiah, earlier on in one of his earlier prophecies, he spoke about a child who would become a king who would also bring justice. It's a verse we read every Christmas. Unto you a child is born. And then we read Isaiah 9:7, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus is God's chosen and anointed servant. He is anointed for the task, and he will be victorious. He cannot and will not fail in his task to bring justice to the nations. And then finally, verse 21 tells us the end result of all of this. The nations will put their hope in him, in his name. Once again, Jesus came to bring help for the helpless, hope for the hopeless, and we are told the nations will put their hope in Jesus' name. Now back in verse 16, remember Jesus said to the people, don't tell anybody who I am, right? Right? Don't tell anybody who I am. That was part of his humility as God's servant. Well, let's not be confused. That was then. This is now, okay? Now, what are we supposed to do now? Now we're supposed to tell everyone who Jesus is, okay? Because Jesus has already risen from the dead and ascended. We need to bring Jesus' name to the nations. Because if we don't bring Jesus' name to the nations, then how will the nations put their hope in Jesus' name? Jesus is a victorious servant. And the book of Revelation gives us an advanced preview of this victory. We look at these words in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. John says, I looked in my vision, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language. They're standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Success, victory. Jesus is the gentle servant who will succeed in his task. He will bring justice to the nations. Now, this first servant song tells us that Jesus is this gentle servant and he's going to succeed. It doesn't tell us how he's going to do it. Right? Doesn't tell us how he's going to do it. You need the rest of the servant songs for that. The rest of the servant songs fill in the picture. This first servant song from Isaiah 42 simply tells us of Jesus' manner as he went about his task, as he went about his earthly ministry as a gentle servant. Then the other songs tell us what? They tell us of his divine preparation for the task, his unflinching obedience to the task, and then finally in the fourth servant song, how he accomplished the task. How? Through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so Jesus is a victorious servant. He will bring justice to the nations, and the nations will put their hope in his name. As a Christian, you are going to experience conflict. You are going to face conflict. It's inevitable when you are on mission for God. You are going to face conflict. But today's passage tells us how you can respond. How you're supposed to respond to that conflict. Jesus was gentle with others, and we should be gentle too. We should pursue peace with those around us and avoid unnecessary conflicts. We should not quarrel or cry out. We should care for the helpless and the hopeless around us. And knowing that only Jesus will bring true justice to this world, we should encourage people to put their hope and their trust in Jesus' name. Jesus is God's gentle servant, and we are called to be gentle too. So let us go forth to treat others with the same tenderness and care as our gentle Savior. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful word this morning, first given to us, spoken to us from you through Isaiah. And then Matthew picks up on this, and Lord Jesus, Matthew just sees you so perfectly displaying these words. He recognizes you are fulfilling prophecy, and he brings these words to us again. And there's no doubt about it, these words are about you, Lord Jesus. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because Jesus, you are the gentle servant. Thank you for being so gentle and kind to us. Help us to follow your example with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.